everyone, and welcome to Pod Made You Special, a VeggieTales rewatch podcast. My name is David Spencer.
I'm Alexa Quizon.
My name is Daniel Kaka.
And I'm Michael Hunter.
And this is not a VeggieTales podcast. This is a podcast where the four of us are watching VeggieTales. If you are looking for unabashed praise for VeggieTales with a lot of research and an uncritical celebration of their messages, then you are probably in the wrong place.
Sorry.
But if you want to listen to four recovering church kids work their way through the nostalgia and cringe and separate what they genuinely love from what they don't, then have we got a show for you.
You're welcome.
And I just have to say, I think this episode it might end up being a little bit of a change in tune from the previous two in that.
Why'd you look at me?
No, I'm not. Like, I mean, I'm just looking at you because I just like to look at you sometimes, Alexa.
Oh, okay. I was just like a change in tune.
No, right, because we were more negative than positive on the last two episodes. I have a feeling that this one might be a lot more positive than negative on. I feel like I've got fond memories of this episode. So That might change a little bit today. We'll see.
I don't think we were that negative. I think we were hesitatingly positive.
I mean, we were pretty negative on the last one. But that's, of course, because it was not good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I liked the beach episode.
And, you know, there were some really good bits that we all genuinely laughed at. It was funny listening back to the reactions of us watching the episode and then when we started the discussion, I feel like we liked it a lot more during the reactions than we did when we were actually talking about it. There were quite a few times where we like all had genuine laughter. And then in the actual episode, we were like, well, that was worthless. We didn't say it was worthless.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that alone, there was no silly song with Larry.
That's true. That's like, what it all comes down to.
Yeah. There's no silly song. You're not going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Speaking about the previous episode, I'm going to bring back a recurring segment, which is the notes from Dakota K. So thank you once again, Dakota K. Shout out to you for being such a big supporter of ours and helping make this thing happen. And of course, Dakota on our Discord server has always been posting notes like the day of some of the behind the scenes that they're aware of because they have a lot of appreciation and fandom for VeggieTales. So here's a couple of notes that Dakota had to say about the previous episode. So in 1994, Where's God When I'm Scared was released. To neither rousing success nor complete failure, it had performed just well enough to justify continuing work, and neither Phil nor Mike necessarily expected to get that far. They realized they hadn't really considered a second episode up until this point and scrambled to get something started as fast as possible, which I think we were kind of speculating was part of the thing of the whole sophomore slump. It's like a thing that gets talked about with bands a lot of the time where it's like the first album sounds like it was made for being worked on for 10 years and then the second album sounds like it was being made for like 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Phil had taken an old script he had written for a puppet sketch back when he was in Bible college, which Phil never actually graduated Bible college because he was expelled for not attending chapel, which is very relatable, Phil. I'm not gonna lie, my respect for Phil Vischer has increased a little bit right there. Going back to the notes to this, though, yeah. So this was something that another one of our users, Pink Delilah T, was also pointing out, that the Forgive-O-Matic sketch came from something that Phil wrote while he was in college. She even specified that it was a puppet sketch was written for Bible college, which is very... I remember doing so much puppet theater as a church kid.
That's a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Puppet theater?
Oh, yeah.
That comes back.
That was like, I remember that being like every like, you know, children's church service. And like, that was a big thing when I was a kid going to Bible camp as well. We didn't really do it as much by the time I was old enough to be working there. I feel like it was more of a 90s thing that kind of phased out by the aughts. But
well, it's because you have Lamb Chop.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was.
And it's
like,
yeah.
Was Lamb Chop a religious lamb?
Yes.
What?
Yes. I am in the same boat with Alexa.
What? Yeah. No way.
I have no clue.
So, if I'm not mistaken, the TV series was, they kind of watered it down at least a little bit, but there were straight to VHS tapes that I swear that I've watched these where it's the creator and Lamb Chop reading Bible stories and talking about Bible lessons.
What?
Mm-hmm.
But she like strangled Charlie Horse at the end.
Well,
that's not very godlike.
They were covering Old Testament stuff. It's a Wild West game at that point.
So back to Dakota's notes. One idea that Phil and Mike had for VeggieTales was that they could occasionally parody classic literature, which got as far as writing down a few puns and writing the script before realizing they didn't know too much about classic literature. And when Dakota pointed this out, it reminded me of a podcast that I can't remember the name of. It was one of the many, many, many improv podcasts that Paul F. Tompkins did, which the idea of it was...
I know which one.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, okay.
It's all of them.
I mean, the idea of it was is that they would get a bunch of improv comedians and they choose a classic work of literature that none of them had read before. And I think all they did was they would read like a list of characters, read the very first sentence and the very last sentence, and then improv what they thought happened in the book.
Interesting.
I don't remember what it's called. I tried looking up and I just kept finding people talking about the Dead Authors podcast, which is a different podcast where Paul F. Tompkins is improvising about classic literature. Editor David here. That podcast was an offshoot of the podcast Super Ego, titled Forgotten Classics.
So I imagine that's what happened with the Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah. Yes. Like, I feel like that's what happened, is like they just knew the title and were just like, let's go from there. Yeah.
So Of Mice and Men is just a really cute story about, you know, just some mice and some men just hanging out, like, with each other.
How Tom and Jerry came to be. That's Of Mice and Men.
I thought Stuart Little. Because, I mean, it's a mouse and a man.
So apparently Silly Songs with Larry was also never meant to be a recurring segment on VeggieTales, and it was just like something they thought was just like a funny aside. But when the God Wants Me to Forgive Them episode came out, they got a whole bunch of letters asking, where it happened to Silly Songs with Larry? Where's Silly Songs with Larry? So they realized that, yeah, we got to have silly songs in there.
So that was the thing that like really shot it up there. It's like with... Epic Mealtime. The story behind Epic Mealtime always fascinates me, because when they first started off their YouTube channel, it was a workout channel. They would do a workout every single day of the week, but when it came to Friday, they're like, oh, well, we've been eating so well and clean, let's just do a cheat day. And their cheat days just kept getting bigger and bigger, more ridiculous.
That's
and
then amazing.
They would find, like, looking at the numbers, they realized that they were getting more views just from their cheat day meals. And they're like, why are we continuing to work out if, like, the only thing people are interested in is, like, the 500 chicken nugget sandwich or whatever it is.
It's like why we stopped doing Thank You Internet, big to do Weird Alphabet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dakota says, missteps aside, for the first time in his history, Big Idea Studios was beginning to expand. Mike quit his day job to work on VeggieTales full time. Phil was able to buy a second computer. More people began working on the show. Where's God When I'm Scared took 2 years to make. God Wants Me to Forgive Them took less than 8 months. So maybe the show wasn't an outright success yet, but it was going in that direction. Few other random notes from Dakota to point out is that Paw Grape, Ma Grape, Tom Grape, and Rosie Grape, the nameless tree, Henry the Potato, Palmy the Palm Tree, almost none of those characters come back in a serious way, except for one who we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
Apparently, this was also the first episode of VeggieTales to receive a secularized dub from the National Center for Youth Issues, which these dubs were a short-lived series of official VeggieTales edits for public schools, removing or dubbing over all the references to religion, which I did not realize was a thing that happened.
I want to see one of these episodes.
Now? I mean, I wonder if that's why a lot of people didn't realize VeggieTales was religious, but I also wonder if this was a common thing for lots of other religious mediums. Say, like Lamb Chop, for example, if people could watch secularized versions of Lamb Chop with all of the religion cut out. Is that what you saw, Alexa?
Well, now that I know that the lamb is the sacrificial lamb. No, not the sacrificial lamb. That's a different lamb. I'm talking about, like, Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Like, my whole worldview has changed.
With all this being said, we should go ahead and get into what today's episode is actually going to be.
What is it?
Which is Show number three, Are You My Neighbor?
Is this like Mr. Rogers? Are they going to like talk to Mr. Rogers and be like, are you a God show too?
Maybe.
Oh my goodness. And he's like, no.
As I said, I feel like this is the first VeggieTales episode that I remember really liking a lot.
Okay.
I think especially of the two stories, I think the second one is one that I really remember. There's one moment, there's one line in one song that we'll talk about that I really want to get into. And I hope I'm remembering it correctly, because if I'm remembering it correctly, VeggieTales might be more progressive than even it is realizing.
Okay.
Michael, do you have any memories of this one?
I vaguely do. I remember a lot of it, okay. But I don't, it's been way too long since I've seen it.
So with it being, Are You My Neighbor? Mm-hmm. That's the title.
Yeah.
You can maybe guess what some of the themes of it might be. I'll say there's two stories. The first one is a Bible story retelling. Okay. Any guesses on a Bible story retelling that might have to do with Are You My Neighbor?
Okay, neighbors. I feel like everyone was neighbors.
It's more neighbor in the sense of like, you know, be kind to your neighbor, and you're like, oh, who's my neighbor?
Is it like a short guy and tall guy? And he's like, hey, I want to see
Jesus. What
Bible
story is that?
I don't know. There was a short guy who was like, I want to see
David
Jesus.
And Goliath.
Yeah. You're talking about Zacchaeus.
Yeah, yeah. It was very short phobic, you know, like. Like, hey, yeah. I'm too small. I'm going to go up a tree.
My guess is that it's going to be the Good Samaritan.
Okay. Dang it! Okay. That was a better answer.
Yeah.
And then the second part is, of course, a classic TV parody. You want to just take any wild? I love, even though you have no context for it, I just love hearing your wild guesses of TV parodies.
Transformers.
Sure. Dan, well, you got any guesses for TV parodies?
If it's Neighbors, I'm going to guess the Flintstones, which is the Honeymooners.
Okay. Will say the title of that, which will not help you at all, but the title of the second segment is The Gourds Must Be Crazy.
So is it a parody on The Girls Must Be Crazy?
Well, no, the title.
The Gods Must Be Crazy is what it's playing off
of. Oh. Have you ever heard of the movie The Gods Must Be Crazy?
It's like a mockumentary about this like this tribe in Africa. It's like a plane flies over and they throw a glass Coca-Cola bottle out of the plane. And they like find this and suddenly it becomes like the most useful tool to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's played off as like it's a comedy, like it's a mockumentary. Yeah. About them discovering this glass bottle, but knowing,
but the then it becomes it goes to like a level of like it also becomes like a corrupting influence of everybody fighting over the power of holding on to this gift from the gods, and then the gods must be crazy because they've given us this big gift, but it's making us destroy each other as well.
The storyline feels problematic.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yes,
but knowing what I saw with Grapes of Wrath. That is not at all what it's going
to
be.
No, and in fact, there is a very specific TV parody that it is doing, and it has nothing to do with The Gods Must Be Crazy. Mm. So I guess with all that being said, let's go ahead and check out Are You My Neighbor?
When was this released?
Oh, this was released in 1995.
Ooh.
And by the way, we are now 3-for-3 on titles ending with a punctuation mark.
Okay. Don't all... No.
I most guess... titles don't end with a punctuation mark.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
But this is... Where's God when I'm scared? God wants me to forgive them? Are you my neighbor? I just wish they added more question marks and exclamation points to every single one.
I just want one of these just to be only exclamation points and question marks. And just,
It would have been great if they added a question mark every season so we would know what season it was from. Mm-hmm.
Season,
I will say this about the TV show. The TV show they're parodying was known for making some statements about inclusion and diversity at a time when that was not too common in television.
The Jeffersons.
Then it's got to be that Mr. Rogers neighborhood episode when the mailman came and then he was like, hey.
Let's go ahead and check it out.
Some people seem so strange.
Why do I have a shoe on my head?
Others seem just plain weird.
Larry!
What?
How many times have I told you not to eat while you're wearing your helmet?
But if you really think about it, maybe they're only, well, different.
And that's why I have a shoe on my head.
Join the veggies as they discover that sometimes different is good. And the latest video release from VeggieTales, Are You My Neighbor?
Hey, this is swell. Gosh, this is fun.
With silly songs and fun galore, it's an out-of-this-world adventure that leaves you hungry for more. So run, don't walk, and catch all the excitement. All the action!
I think my helmet's on backwards.
And all the great veggies!
Between you and me, I think they're crazy.
It's a never-ending plate full of excitement! So don't miss 30 marvelous minutes of Sunday morning values and Saturday morning fun in VeggieTales, Are You My Neighbor? Available on home video from Big Idea Productions and Lyric Studios.
Well, we just finished watching Are You My Neighbor? So what did everybody think of this episode?
This was definitely the best episode that we've
the best
seen
one
so
we've
far.
Watched yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if the naming was definitely a bit off. This was still, it was the best episode so far. I think part of it is that they were learning what their style is, so it definitely looked a lot better.
Oh yeah.
We noticed the
there's a massive shading. Jump up in quality. It was like far as like the technical quality of like lighting and everything. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then Larry's silly song is back, so that's always a joy to have. Overall, I think this is it's the best episode so far.
Alexa, how do you feel about it?
Number one, now I know why David's veggie sona is Junior Asparagus. He's clearly the best.
Oh, I mean, it's just because I was the one wearing a hat. That's why I chose to have my character on there be Junior.
You know, David, you just take the compliment and then... But another thing is, I've realized that I think sci-fi is the answer to making Christians a little bit more progressive. Star Wars or Star Trek.
That's how sci-fi was supposed to be in the first place.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be.
It was a disguise for progressive thoughts.
I mean, especially like 50s and 60s sci-fi, you get stuff like the Twilight Zone. You get stuff, you know, Star Trek was very much like half of Star Trek original series episodes are just allegories for racism.
I mean, the first white person-black person kiss on film was on Star Trek. Yeah.
Exactly.
Or at least on television. I don't know if that was a first on film.
Yeah, at least television. Yeah.
Michael, how are your feelings on this?
Revisiting this? Pretty good, David.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah. We already talked about pretty much all the things I was going to bring up on a technical level. It's great. The quality has gotten much better. We don't have any weird hiccup hitches like the car from like the God Wants Me to Forgive Them. We don't have like the weird just bad writing even. It was actually pretty decent throughout.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say like, it's not perfect, and there's still some stuff that was like a little weirdly paced, or like some jokes that didn't land for me. But one, at the end of the day, it is a show made for kids, so it's like the type of comedy is going to be a little different. But also, you know, all that aside, I think I would still this is the first one that I would give a Disney Plus instead of a Disney Minus to. You know, this is the first one that I would be like, this is a good episode.
That was a podcast reference for those of you that don't know.
But the one thing I will say is that the gripes I had with the last episode completely like 180'd in this one.
Like, what's an example?
The fact that we only had like two songs really the last time.
Yeah.
This one, we had like four.
I think we still only really had one song per story. The second story had the Gourds singing other songs, but they weren't original songs for VeggieTales. Like, Meet Me in St. Louis, I remember when I first heard that and like had to be explained that it was from something as a kid. And I still don't even remember what that song is from.
Well, I mean, but either way, like the fact that we had like a lot more singing, and also that them singing their songs paid off with them singing the song at the end.
Yes, that's very true.
So it wasn't just necessarily just thrown out there like it was nothing.
Mm-hmm. I think it's funny that there's kind of a trope of 3D animated movies ending with everybody dancing to some pop song. And I just like imagining that as like the origination of that trope.
The origination. I like that.
Origination. It was the origin. The origin.
The origin.
The origin.
Well, I feel like
I know
origin,
words.
Yeah, but origin and nation, because it caused a nation
of 3D movies.
3D movies to do the same. So I get it.
Yeah. And even like. Between the silly song with Larry from like the only two mm-hmm. that we've heard so far, like basically went from the most like bare bones like song,
but with a good bit, like a good joke.
Oh, of course, yeah. But the funniest bit is the lack of song in Water Buffalo. This one, it's just like from beginning to end, like mm-hmm. oh, this is brilliant.
Oh yeah.
Oh, where is my hairbrush? Oh, where? With my hairbrush. Oh, where, 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 oh, where is my hairbrush?
I think one of the reasons why the silly song really works in this is like they chose a style and like mm-hmm. we're going to do this opera, you know, narrator, you know, talking about this play and even have like the set of the door and the roses being thrown on stage at the end.
I really appreciated seeing like the standalone door as you'd see on a play. I really like the commitment that like
such
this
a
is
good
a
bit.
Stage production.
Yeah, and I didn't really notice that until I saw the canisters in the background. I was mm-hmm. like, oh, wait a minute. It, that's not a real tub.
I think the show as a whole like still will take steps up in quality, but I think Silly Songs with Larry, like this one, is already at like the level that it needs to be at. Like I feel like there's other silly songs that I'll like better, but I feel like this already set the bar where every silly song is going to be at this kind of level in the future.
I mean, a freaking peach showed up, man. The peach showed up with a nice like surfer hair.
With actual peach fuzz. With like peach fuzz on its face. I was like, oh, wow.
Alexa, you got to go back and listen to the first episode of this podcast, because I think it was you who was speculating about vegetables having hair. And I was like, well, the peach has hair.
My only gripe with the Larry Silly Song, and I think it might be one of the few gripes that I have with this whole episode in general, was that his hairbrush was given away without his knowledge.
Exactly. So, his husband gave it away. Stole it while he was showering.
Yeah, it's like, you're not using it. He didn't consult with him on whether or not to get rid of his item. It was his hairbrush.
His property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he just got rid of it because he assumed because.
You never assume. What if Larry just likes the feeling of the hairbrush on his nice little cucumber skin?
I love that, like, the narrator literally says, it never occurred to him. He doesn't have any hair, which is so good. It's like, how do you not realize you have no hair? Ugh. It's great. I don't think the sketch is saying that what Bob was doing was A-okay. I think it's also like it's there to be this dramatic moment of building up the melodrama.
For the sake of comedy, it works really well and it's forgivable under that circumstance.
I will say too, like speaking of just like that moment, like the other thing that just cracks me up every single time is just the fact that whenever somebody just barges into the bathroom, they're like, oh.
And Paul Grape was shocked and slightly embarrassed at the sight of Larry in a towel. Yeah. They keep repeating that line over and over.
It's like the fact that these people keep barging into the bathroom while he's using it just to be like, oh, hey, I don't know where your hairbrush is. Like,
that sounds like a high school skit. Like, what if we just made it funny? It's in a bathroom. We'll just barge in there. And then they all say something funny. But I have a feeling the peach knew exactly what was happening. And he was like, what if I make this right and I go in with a towel so that he's not embarrassed? We both embarrass each other. He sees my hair. And I get to keep the hairbrush. So.
I feel like what happened was the peach was also taking a shower. And then he went to brush his hair and he realized, oh, wait a minute.
I have a hairbrush.
I have a hairbrush. This is Larry's hairbrush.
It smells like cucumber.
I need to go thank Larry. And then he goes over and just to be like, thanks for the hairbrush.
So,
in his towel.
Okay, so Bob and Larry's house and then the peach's house is next door. Larry might be moaning the fact that he doesn't have a hairbrush. while his friends Pa Crepe and Junior Asparagus are hanging out at their house that day, and then Bob comes
in. I think Pa Crepe got lost. he doesn't know what's happening.
And then Bob comes in and is like, I gave it to the Peach, and he's like, you know what? I need to go tell the Peach that I gave the hairbrush. So while Larry is getting out of the shower, Bob rushes downstairs, goes across the street, back up to the Peach's house where the Peach is taking a shower and says, by the way, Peach, that's Larry's hairbrush. Okay, bye. And then the Peach goes, okay, well, now I gotta go tell Larry. And then rushes down the stairs and across the street and back up to tell Larry, hey, thanks for the hairbrush.
That does make a lot of sense.
What is this farce? What is this farce that you've envisioned in my mind?
That does make it way more like understandable how that whole thing happened.
Because they got like you know, the span of what, 20 seconds for Bob to tell Larry that his hairbrush belongs to the Peach, and then for the Peach to realize that he should come over and thank Larry for the hairbrush. So a lot happens behind the scenes. Where's that story? We're kind of skipping around. I intended to talk about the first segment first, but we just needed to talk a lot about that.
You were just really excited
song.
About that song.
The silly song is so good.
I think it's because so like we good. Didn't have one last time, so when it did show up, it was like, let's talk about this. You know? It's like the ride at Disneyland that was closed when you were there last time, and then
so
when
you
it's
gotta
there,
jump
you gotta jump
first
on
thing
it.
You do. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. But let's talk about Flibberoloo. Is that what it was called?
Yes.
Flibberoloo?
Flibberoloo.
Now, the town to the west that thought it was best bore the name Flibberoloo, where the women and men since 1710 have worn on their heads one large shoe.
So Dan was right in his prediction. It was a Good Samaritan story. Mm-hmm. So 10 points for Dan.
Yeah. That's it seemed like a classic neighborly love story.
Yeah.
Helping out your neighbor.
I mean, it's almost in a way kind of like the Sneetches.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, you know, I have a star and I'm better. It's like, oh, well, actually, you have to have two stars. And that, like, oh, well, no stars.
Yeah.
And
it just... Which I know, like, the Sneetches story has gotten a lot of criticism for not actually being a very good allegory of racism. And I think for here, it's not necessarily racism for Flibberoloo and the other place. I can't remember its names. But it's
Gibberolot or something?
But it's more just like kind of just general like xenophobia of being afraid of somebody from another.
I thought it was just like different kinds of hats. I don't like your hat.
But it's like disliking somebody from another culture just because their culture is different than yours.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But the hat community is just very, they're very intense.
I love that when Larry gets beat up by the scallions, whose names I forget, the shoe comes off, and then there's also a sock that comes off as well, which we never explain, but it's just
the
like, oh, of course
with
he's
the head
also
sweat.
Wearing
well,
the,
yeah,
sock.
That's why he was saying, like, my head's starting to sweat.
Oh,
it's because
okay.
of the sock.
Okay.
The sock absorbs the sweat.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we got to talk about that toy lobster.
The blue wind-up lobster.
That lobster is great. It's the best.
I don't think did we ever see that lobster again?
I feel like it come. Oh, like in the story? No.
No.
It kind of wanders off.
No, it goes away, and then he gets stuck in the hole, and then the lobster goes back up into town.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And that's it.
But then we never see it again.
The lobster again.
Yeah, not for the musical number or nothing.
Because the lobster went home. That was its journey.
Yeah. It abandoned its friend and then came back like nothing happened.
The lobster was like, I'm free.
Oh, wait, there's no ending to this land. I'm going to go back.
Was the lobster the one that went back to tell Junior Asparagus, hey, my friend's stuck in a hole. Can you help him?
What is it? What is it, boy?
Yeah.
Larry's stuck in a well?
I don't believe it because little lobster, like, went past Larry. Like, absolutely knowing that Larry was in that hole. He was trying to be like, I'm also a hero. Just like the mayor and the doctor I helped.
What if the lobster, because the lobster was just leading Larry. What if the lobster was teaming up with the guys that jumped him? And like, this was all just the lobster's doing.
Ooh.
And that's why
that's more believable.
He went off, got his cut, went back.
Right. And now think of it this way. The lobster wasn't wearing a shoe.
Well, this is something I always wondered about this story. Like, even remember watching it as a kid where you have this, you know, giant spire. And then the two spires are the two towns on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any way up or down that spire. So it's just the people who live in the two towns. Where do the scallions come from? They don't have shoes or pots.
Also, shouldn't they be called rapscallions?
Oh,
yes.
There you go. Oh, Michael, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I think I know exactly what you're thinking,
Oh, you're thinking about Madame Blueberry, right? Rapscallions?
Oh my god!
Oh my goodness!
Okay, cool.
We
perfect.
Just, me and Dan just witnessed the mind melt.
We're gonna call them the Alaskans because I don't remember their names.
Yes, no, that's I honestly, that is Alexa. I think you just blew it wide open. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, that's why I'm here, to make silly make sense.
Well, I mean, clearly they came from Babylon, is what happened.
Yeah.
That's what happened. They ran away from Babylon after like trying to, you know, murder Daniel, throw him in the lion's den, and then
cause trouble.
Oh, I also want to point out that an unintentional message of that story is how you can't trust the people in power as much as you can trust your fellow lower class citizens.
You know what? Potheads are a lot easier to trust than the mayor and doctor. and they're pretty chill.
In both stories.
That's true.
I'm convinced that they were stoners.
Yeah, stoners save the day.
Munchies, pots on their head.
We never mentioned the musical interlude that happens explains how busy they are. And yet they had a whole, not just once, the mayor had two musical numbers that he was a part of to explain how busy he was. And then was in the second one joined by the also busy
doctor.
Busy,
frightfully busy, more than a bumblebee, more than an ant. Busy, horribly busy. We'd love to help, but we can't.
Ta-ta. Wait a minute. You're telling me that politicians knowingly know of a problem and then just constantly say that they're busy and they'll get to it?
I'm busy going to Cancun. I can't deal with the electrical grid right now.
I love how they made the kid pay for the bill, too.
I know. Yeah.
Like, Larry probably has money, but he didn't ask for this.
I love that the mayor was like, this touched my heart. Of course you can pay, child. Like, it wasn't like, it's kind of like those stories in the news. I was like, teachers, you know,
paying for their own school supplies.
Like, this teacher is so gracious that they paid for this student's blah 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 blah. And I was like, that shouldn't be happening. Like, that's a great story, but this is a result of not having the resources that they need due to bigger problems. And
Where were the mayor and doctor going anyways?
On a date. They were dancing at the disco.
That's true. Yeah. They both had to sneak out of town.
Yeah.
They
were like the mayor and Marnie from Stardew Valley, you know, just sneaking around town in the bushes.
I mean, there was that path was the path between towns.
Yeah.
So at that point, it just seems like they might have been going to the other town.
I mean, they both went to the same house.
And the doctor comes down and she's like, oh, who are you? I've never seen you before in my life. But I don't recognize you at all.
Yeah.
Wink.
The busy song, I feel like that's something that, doesn't that happen in the Bible where they're like, I'm busy, I can't help you.
They sing a song?
Yeah. No, they don't sing a song, but they
the lyrics are in the Bible.
but they have like words of, because I remember
as
a kid.
Songs in his books.
Because I remember as a kid hearing that story and going, they had time to say that they were busy. Why didn't they just do it? You know, because they had a whole monologue of why they were busy. I thought VeggieTales was making fun of that part in the Bible where they were just talking about how busy they were and made it into a song, because they knew exactly what. That's why the mayor stayed for two songs, because they're like, yeah, the mayor's super busy trying to get a date, you know.
Let me see. Now I want to.
He's trying to get busy.
He's trying to get busy.
Yeah.
The story in the Bible only takes up, what, like five verses? So all it says is...
It just says I'm busy.
A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. That's it.
Oh.
So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, saw who the man was, and yada, yada, yada. I think it's interesting that the original Bible story is a priest who passed him by, but they don't want to do that.
Okay, but they changed it to the mayor.
I did like the pickle cucumber joke.
Oh, yeah.
Every time
good.
They call him a pickle. Because there was definitely moments where you definitely feel the rhyme being forced into the lyrics. Given it is very ambitious to actually make
The whole thing rhymes.
And
so
it's like
good. They did a good job with it too.
Yeah. So there were definitely some great rhymes in there, but there were definitely moments in there where it felt like forced. And pickle definitely rhymes more with other words than
fickle?
Cucumber.
Yeah. Should we talk about the Star Trek episode?
Oh, Captain, you've returned.
Hello, Scooter. Any luck?
I'm afraid not, Captain. The engines have got no power, and we've only 5 minutes till that meteor smashes us to bits.
This is the one that I remember really loving as a kid.
You were super excited about this.
I was excited about it. Oh. I love space. Even though I'm never a Star Trek person, I just love the space setting. Mm-hmm. I love Scooter. I love Jimmy and Jerry Gord. I love all of it. It's great.
Am I the only person here? I mean, Dan, have you watched Star Trek?
I've done some research on Star Trek.
Okay. Well, as I guess the only person here that's really watched Star Trek.
Uh-huh. I mean, I watched the movies.
Yeah.
And by the movies, you mean the Chris Pine movies?
No.
Oh, you saw the original.
I saw the one with Picard, and then like there was a scene where a child drops a teddy bear and I cried, and then like on this because she dropped it on the spaceship, and then they never brought up the teddy bear again, and I was angry. That they never brought it back. And my brothers were making fun of me. So that's why I remember Star Trek. Anyway, continue, Michael.
I guess just as a parody, it's decent. I mean, the fact that they, instead of Scotty, it's Scooter, but like then they...
But he's still very Scottish.
Yeah.
He's like even more over the top with like even wearing a kilt and everything.
Yeah. And of course, like the big white mustache. Like it's...
Love it.
It's one of my favorite characters.
I love that when they were like, okay, we don't have the time to animate a whole crew. We're just going to choose one crew member. Do we choose a captain? No, of course not. We're just going to put Scotty on the ship.
Yeah.
Well,
he's the engineer.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that makes sense. He's like, the ship is going down. We don't know how to fix it. But then there's so much hilarity that ensues with like making him overly Scottish calling him Scooter. Yep. is such a great.
Yeah. And Scooter comes back. He's a recurring vegetable cast member. And I think he's always got that over-the-top Scottish accent.
Is his name Scooter, actually?
I don't know if the carrot gets another name. That I was going to say character, and I was trying to think of what the actor.
Yeah. Right. No, I'm pretty sure like whenever they introduce a character, that's their name.
Yeah.
Like,
because I know Jimmy and Jerry Gord are still Jimmy Gord and Jerry Gord.
Yeah. I mean, Paw Grape, still Paw Grape.
Yeah.
Literally always referred to as Paw Grape.
Yeah.
Like, we never see the family again, but...
But Paw Grape's still here.
He ate them. Yeah.
So this is we talked about this briefly at the very end of our discussion, but, like, they did eventually, and I don't know if we'll ever cover it, but they did do a Star Trek parody, like a full-blown Star Trek, Star Wars hybrid parody.
Okay. Ooh, like Family Guy.
Like a Blue Harvest thing.
Basically, yeah. David, we were talking about how like the name of this particular segment is that reference to that movie.
Yeah, the Gords Must Be Crazy.
Yeah, the Gords Must Be Crazy. And it's like, well, maybe it's because we couldn't find like a good pun, but they eventually did.
Really?
And it's called... Veggies in Space, The Fennel Frontier.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's pretty good.
They probably were like, in the later parts, they were like, The Fennel Frontier, that's what we should have done. And then they made an episode.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And they even made like Larry look like Spock.
Oh.
And Bob look like Spock and Larry look like Captain Kirk, I guess.
Yeah.
That's definitely a Picard.
Yeah. We do.
Because he doesn't have any hair.
Doesn't have any hair.
Oh, where is my hairbrush? Where is my hairbrush? When I was getting the DVDs, I did pick up a copy of The Fennel Frontier.
Okay. So we might cover it.
We might, but that's
we'll cover that later.
Exactly.
We'll decide later.
Yeah, it's a decision. For me, I was like, I have to know. I got that for a personal preference.
Yep. Well, we could talk about Jimmy and Jerry Gord and their introduction. I love that they're just introduced, just singing a song and not paying attention to what's going on.
I'll be waiting there.
Hi, I'm Junior.
I'm Jimmy Gord.
I'm Jerry Gord.
We're the new guys.
What do they even do on the ship?
You know.
They ate the apples on the pie. That's why it stopped.
Yeah.
What does anybody on the crew of the Enterprise do? Like that, like all those people sitting on the bridge who are all nameless characters, what do they all do?
What is the consistency with space helmets? Like you had some that were covering like the eyes and the nose, but uh-huh. the mouth was completely
yep.
open.
Yep. Well,
the
only just one, hold, you just keep your mouth closed. Yeah.
But the only one who was completely covered was Larry. I mean, uh-huh. it was like his head was covered. But then when it came to the Gourds, they were sent out into space, no helmets whatsoever.
Yep, yep.
So
maybe that was.
Well, I mean, how are they supposed to eat without the helmets? Oh, because they need the helmets that don't cover
That's
your mouth.
Probably why Scooty didn't like them.
Scooty?
Scooty.
I like this nickname.
Yes. Yeah. We're on a first name basis. That's why he didn't like them, because he was jealous of them, because they can breathe in space. Mm. And he can only breathe in Scotland.
Those two have gourd-like powers. They can breathe in space, I tell ya.
I also am confused with the fact that it's an apple pie and they're all vegetables. So
USS
it's like
apple pies. Well, I mean, we've had fruit before.
Yeah, but like...
Wait, are there sentient fruit?
Yeah, the peach. The grapes.
The tomato.
Bob the tomato.
but I'm confused with how it works in the world.
I'm in the same ship here.
Yes. Where it's the apple pie ship, yes.
Like, it's an apple pie ship. If apples can be sentient, I don't know if we've seen a sentient apple yet.
We will.
Okay, then that brings up even more questions that they have an apple pie that is basically the size of a ship. Like, it is it is enough to create a ship.
I think they were trying to find a good pun for Enterprise.
Yeah.
But they have like a vegetable pie, right? They could have definitely like that's Scooter even is
worse.
There.
That makes the situation even worse, because you're using essentially we are Soylent greening an entire ship.
Dan, eventually we have to just accept the fact that these fruits and veggies are constantly both food and people.
Here's a lesson that is not addressed at all. One, home invasion.
Second time now.
Yeah. Second time they just like wait for his like baby asparagus.
Junior asparagus.
His parent leaves and they're like, now is our chance to invade this kid's home.
Yes.
Yes. Junior's dad, a.k.a. Big Mister. Yeah. Which is a great name for a mob boss, by the way.
Big Mister.
And Little Mister is just like the next in charge. Yep, like, yep. You're going to inherit the family business. That's Big Mister to you. Everybody pay attention. Listen up. This is Little Mister. If I'm not here, you take orders from him.
I love that the Gourds, Jimmy and Jerry Gourd, are like, there's two things that we know about them, and they're just going to keep repeating those two things all the time. We sing, and we like to talk about eating. And then when they get blasted out in their pods, what are they going to do? Let's sing a song, and then eat. Stop and talk about how we like eating so much.
So,
and I love that it's also like, not that they like eating specific foods. It's literally just about how much they like eating. It doesn't matter what they're eating, just the act of it.
So this is kind of a beautiful like friendship. They compete with eating food, but they are cooperative with their music.
Well, they're very like a
this sounds
Marian...
like Come On for Hoogah Pods as Gourds.
No, they're very Merry and Pippin.
Oh, you know. Okay.
I can see that.
And this is why my veggie sona is a gourd, because I love to sing and I love to eat food.
Yes.
Especially end tables.
Especially the end tables.
That bit is so good.
Well, I got a little bit hungry, so I was just snacking on this end table when I saw this. It's some kind of electrical plug or something.
Plug it in!
To be fair, that end table looked like an ice cream sandwich.
It does look exactly like an ice cream sandwich, like, 100%.
All of you who are listening are lying if you didn't eat something that looked like food, even if you knew it was inedible.
Also, I just have to say that I love the Gord's voices.
Yes.
Like,
yes. Just, which is that Phil Vischer and Mike Naraki. Naraki. Thank you. I can never pronounce that name correctly.
You don't have to pronounce the W.
Because I feel like it's like a Jim Henson and Frank Oz type of thing happened where it's like those two are always like playing the different pairs.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much like they're both doing like a this is kind of up here kind of voice. Yeah. Oh yeah, you know, and I freaking love it.
Yeah, boss.
Yeah, no,
yeah, big mister.
Oh boy, you didn't tell me that big mister was gonna be on the.
See, mine was like little baby mister. You were like little mister when he like grew up.
Yeah. I love that it's just, oh, I realized that this thing was unplugged. Which, you know, now that I've spent years doing tech requests for at a school, you know, the thing not being plugged in being the solution happens way more than you'd like to think.
It feels oddly personal. Maybe they were trying to get one of their computers going. They're like, it's not turned on. I don't know what's going on.
And then IT was just like,
we spent so much money on this thing. What is happening? Why can't we do anything today? And the PA comes in and be like, guys, I was doing some vacuuming yesterday and I unplugged the machine. So you just got to right back in. So they go after the meteor.
Which is popcorn, which is a new food.
Yeah. And popcorn.
What makes the meteor dangerous is how fast it's going, even though it is something as what seems like as harmless as popcorn. Mm-hmm. They took this big fluffy popcorn. They ate it. It is now inside the gourds, which means it is now more dense. Mm-hmm. And when you make an object more dense, they are still flying at the ship at the same speed.
Yeah.
And now you have a more dense object that is more concentrated, and it's going towards the ship. Those two gourds are going to slam right through the ship. It's basically just going to be The Last Jedi, where Laura Dern turns around the ship and is like light speed right through. That's what the gourds would have done to the USS Apple Pie.
I thought what was going to happen was that they were going to still show the meteor coming at them. I know they couldn't do it because of animation reasons, that it was going to come and it looks like nothing happened, and then turns out it was just like a little baby popcorn.
That would have been really funny.
Okay, I want to talk about the song,
yes,
which is one of my favorites.
Hit it, boys. Have you ever seen a boy with funny clothes? A girl with braces on her teeth or freckles on her nose? Some kids call them oddballs. Some kids call them weird.
Is it my imagination, or does Aunt Ruth have a beard?
I think one of the reasons why I love it so much, because it's definitely not as good as Oh No, What We Gonna Do, which is still just like the top-notch banger of VeggieTales. I think one of the reasons why I love this song so much is because of the Veggie Rocks album. This song was covered by Christian ska band OC Supertones, who are no Five Iron Frenzy. But ska is still ska, and that makes me happy. That version of it just exists, and that's what makes me happy about it. But also, this song clearly states in one of the lyrics that just because somebody does not look gender-conforming doesn't mean that you should judge them.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There is a line in there and it's implying that that's a bad thing to be judging someone just because somebody is not conforming to what you expect gender to be.
Yeah.
This song is song is way more progressive than I think even they are realizing. Yeah. This was released today. There's going to be a whole lot of conservatives being like, well, why you can't put that in a Christian song? That's not okay.
I do have a question to propose. What was the kid's name that he eventually invited to his birthday party?
Fernando.
So with that name, what vegetable is he?
Mm. Well, they also specify that he's from another country,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and that like his
he
country
can shoot lasers out of his eyes.
That's true.
Yeah,
you know, was he trying to talk about assuming that Fernando was actually Superman? Is that what he was trying to imply?
Well, when he experienced different people like the Gourds had superpowers, which was super eating and super not flying through a ship.
What I would actually hope is that like people from other countries in Veggie Land were just not vegetables. Mm. They were just like, he was a
so
cheese.
So Fernando might be a cheese.
Could be a dairy. Oh. Could be
like
a grain.
That.
Yeah.
I like that.
He could
that
be a popcorn meteor.
Yeah. What if he was a popcorn meteor?
Yeah, he was a popcorn
meteor. That was Fernando.
Oh, no!
Fernando! that whole ending bit where like they leave and then they come back and they're like, hey, so we kind of threw our map out.
Oh, right.
Can you give us directions to the freeway? And you're like, wait, like for me, I'm just like, I was not expecting that. I don't know if it's necessarily super funny, but it's so unexpected that I'm just like, okay.
I know exactly what happened. Because when you animate something so cool, you want to use it as much as possible. Yeah. So that spaceship was just extra cool. They're like, we need to bring it back.
Honestly, that's not a bad explanation.
Yeah, I agree. I like that.
Yeah.
I guess it's time to ask, if you had kids, would you show this to your children?
I would show this to my children, all of my children that do not exist.
I feel like they do a good job with the message here. I think, you know, the last two episodes, we did a lot of like picking apart the message and like, how would we, you know, prefer this to be portrayed? And I don't feel like I need to do this here this much. Like, there were a couple of things that I would have like minor quibbles on. I think one of them is that there's a trap that, you know, diversity stories or thinly veiled racism allegories can fall into sometimes of like, oh, this person ended up being useful for something, so therefore we should have, you know,
therefore they have value
exactly. Yeah. And that like is sort of it that is definitely like a trope that's being used in the second story, but I feel like the fact that we have that's not the way it is in the first story. It's like, I'm going to help somebody different and they have value simply because they are another person. And like, that is really good.
Could we just explain to them that they're framing it that way? However, everyone has value, period.
Yeah.
And you just don't realize it until, you know, you're in a bind, but you know, everyone has value.
Yeah. And it's not even somebody's value isn't necessarily for what they can do for you. I mean, just like old Big Mister said, before he went off to his mom meeting at the end, well, he may not be able to shoot lasers out of his eyes, but I bet you he can teach us a lot about, you know, his culture and the food that he eats and stuff. And it's like, that's, you know, people bring different things to the table. It doesn't have to be for accomplishing some big task.
I do like that Junior Asparagus is not a perfect hero in that sense, because it's like, you know, kids sometimes they learn a lesson, but they don't learn it completely.
All the way. Yeah. 100%.
And I think that made sense for, and I'm glad that it was coming out from a kid and not an adult, because that would have been,
nice moment of like being able to add an extra beat of comedy there, but also in a way that's like, you know.
But this is still a teaching moment.
Yeah, it's still a teaching moment. It's good.
I would also let my children watch this. Here's my thing with this lesson is that it's one of those lessons that is easy to preach, especially to children. Yeah. And it is a lesson that is oftentimes taught, not even in Christian media, but like throughout all of children's media of like, there's someone that's different, but you allow them in. You allow them a chance to be a friend. You allow them a chance to be themselves. And there is this, there is learning that can be understood from a different culture.
Yeah.
I would show this to my hypothetical children. but the thing is that my little gripe is the QWERTY verse at the end.
Once again, it always comes down to the verse that they put in there.
And for me, I've always had this issue with the golden rule, the do unto others as you would want done upon yourself. And the reason for that is because you have this almost selfish mentality weirdly connected to that, where it's like, oh, well, I wouldn't want that done to me, so I'm going to help others with, you know. But like, when you start integrating laws and you start integrating these types of rules, you put like this unnecessary personal like opinion on it.
Yeah.
When in all actuality, the golden rule is help one another.
Yeah.
The love your neighbor as yourself, for that to be fully realized, I think you also need to have a more humble perspective of yourself. I think there's a lot of people who assume that their perspective is the only perspective, which makes loving your neighbor as yourself more muddied, because the way they see themselves is not, you know, it is, I have value because I am fitting these certain criteria, as opposed to I have value because I'm a person.
I have value and I don't need help from others.
Yeah.
And so why should I help someone else when I don't need help myself?
Yeah.
And so, you have that weird warped mentality when in all actuality, it's like, no, just help one another when they need it.
Mm-hmm. And again, I feel like a lot of this, like what we're talking about, is like something that isn't present in the episode and is problems with, like, you know, some of this stuff with faith as a whole. But I guess that's part of what this podcast is as recovering church kids, this is also us, you know, working through our own feelings and grievances on faith and dogma and all of that on its own. Well, thank you everybody so much for listening. We really, really appreciate it. If you want to find more episodes of this podcast, you can go check out our website, pipedreampodcast.com, which is also the home of Come On for Hoogle Pods, How Did This Not Get Made, Escape from Vault Disney, and the Mystery Shack Look Back, which at the time of you hearing this, they are doing their victory lap kind of postseason discussion of Over the Garden Wall. So definitely go check that out. If you want to see another series with a character with a pot on their head, go watch Over the Garden Wall. And while you're at that website, you can find links to our social media pages. We're on Twitter at VeggieTalesPod. You can find our Discord server. We don't have our own Discord server for Pod Made You Special, but you can join the Fahuga Pods Discord server and join in the chat there. We got a couple of special channels in that server dedicated to this podcast. And you can send us your emails, podmadeyouspecial@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. And finally, if you want to support this podcast, you can go join us on Patreon. We have all kinds of awesome content for you there, and we so appreciate everybody who donates to help keep this show and all of our shows going. You can get at that Patreon page, you can get audio of us reacting to the episode, and you can even get video of us to watch along with us at our Patreon page. So that's patreon.com/pipedreampodcasts. So that's going to go ahead and wrap us up. So remember,
Pod made you special.
And we love you very much.
Bye-bye.